670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, I want to give an update on this because I know that I know a lot of you contributed to this yesterday. So want everybody to know what the outcome was of our efforts to raise money for the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. Where I don't know if the text is mechanism is still there to donate if you want to try. New books, all one word, to 41444. We raised a lot of money yesterday to get books in the hands of kids who don't have books in their home, trying to advance literacy at a young age so that we don't have as much crime and mental health issues at an older age. We know literacy is tied to all those things. $46,000 the cluster raised yesterday. Ooh. So that's not just Sports Radio 610. That's the other stations in our cluster, 100.3 The Bull, Mix 96.5, The Spot 95.7, and then Mega 101. Our Latino station, and 46,000 across the cluster. So that means that 1,533 kids will get home libraries later on.
That's mucho libros.
Yes, thank you, Spanish Seth. Yes,
yeah,
it is. It's good stuff. A lot of books. It's really cool. They get to pick their own books out. I've been to some of the book distribution events and stuff. It's a great event. Thank you to everybody who donated. If you still want to donate, I think new books to 41444 should get the job done. Or just Google Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. I'm sure there's a button to donate on their website as well. You look like you're about to say something. Because you opened your mouth.
I was when I said mucho libros, I was, I was just having an existential dilemma. I was just thinking about maybe I'm going to be more like AJ Hawk on this show. I'm just going to let you talk most of the time and just every now and then just throw in something like that. Would you be cool with that?
No. No, I would not.
I don't know if my words are going to work right today. I had a rough night of sleep. I'm kind of hanging on by a string right now. And I'm trying not to slowly spiral out of control today. But I think I will, and I am going to keep talking through it, and it might end up being a brilliant disaster. So everybody stay tuned.
Stay tuned. That's the big thing. You don't know what Seth is going to say, and that's the key. You never know.
I'm very, very, very close to just lashing out at anything and everything, okay?
Now I'm frightened.
I spent 47 minutes crafting a text at 2:30 a.m. trying to keep it from sounding aggressive or passive aggressive, and all of the breaks in my brain have been worn away down to the, we're metal on metal right now, okay?
Okay.
On my restrictor plate.
That wasn't, you and I were on a group text last night. That wasn't the...
Oh, no. That wasn't Meltzer.
Meltzer were on a text last night. Meltzer was just asking for NFL podcasts to listen to, and I'm hearing you right now. I'm like, I didn't read your text, but I'm like, boy, did Seth get passive aggressive about a... NFL podcast text. Yeah.
I sent that out at 4 a.m., I think.
Okay.
You know what it is interesting when it comes to the NFL stuff and everything? People ask me a question sometimes on a Wednesday or Thursday about something that happened on Sunday, them thinking that I know what I'm talking about. say about the Jaguars game, the Jags-Panthers game.
Yep.
It's a reminder that, theoretically, this is my full-time job. There's a lot of people out there that just want the basics, you know?
Yep.
Meltzer was asking for just a good podcast that just gives a basic, comprehensive look at the league every week.
Yeah.
And I gave him some suggestions. Clearly, you should just listen to Payne and Pendergast every day.
That's what I say,
But yeah, it's a reminder that, a lot of people, most people who probably spend a little less time on this stuff. Just want some of the basic info.
And you're a resource. They see you as a resource.
Theoretically,
guy's got a radio show. He's got a YouTube channel. He's out there all the time talking football.
Like You know what happens in the week one of the season every single year is I get that moment where I feel like I don't know anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much stuff out there now. Yeah. And all the advanced stats, most of which are crap, but you got to read the articles. It's a little bit of an overflow.
Well, there's so much stuff that's going to end up being phony, too, in week one. You know, like some of these quarterback. We'll talk about it later in the show.
Oh yeah,
some of these quarterback performances,
including this Texans Rams game, where I think a lot of people rush to judgment, understandably so, and say, "Well, look, you struggled against the Rams, and they're not even that good a team." Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. I think they might end up being a really good team if Stafford can stay healthy.
Yeah.
And it's if you take that game and you put it in week 13 of the regular season, and it plays out exactly like it did. It's like you might very well after that game be saying like, wow, that is two great defenses battling it out. And they got the better of Stroud. But my God, what a battle between two really good teams.
Yeah, yeah. That we could see that matchup again in February, Bob. You know, like
yeah,
that kind
yeah.
of thing. You know, like
you just don't know.
You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
This was D'Amico Ryans. This was on Tuesday. His update on the injury situation with the team. We'll tell you how it ended up playing out yesterday administratively.
Just start off just the injury update. Stan Stover hurt his foot, so he'll miss some time. Really hate that. He's playing tough, physical, exactly how we want it done. So he'll miss some time, so we'll have to, you know, upgrade our tight end room from that perspective. Andrews rolled his ankle, so he'll be day-to-day, see how that goes. Berrios and Kirk are doing well on their recovery. We'll see how they go this week. No timetable set right now for those guys.
So we'll get more clarity on those last two guys today when they have to put out an injury report. Kate Stover goes to the IR yesterday.
Right.
So he'll miss at least four games.
And Harrison Bryant elevated. It makes sense. He's a guy that can – he's a utility tight end, and you can use him as a blocker. You can use him for some targets. But really the Berrios and Kirk thing, when I went back and, rewatching more and more of the game from last week, I think that there's a couple things going on. One is that I don't think – understandably so, C.J. Stroud trusts Jalen Noel as much as he would trust Christian Kirk. There was one play where C.J. had a clean pocket, wasn't under duress. He pulled it down and ran for a first down, but he had a really easy read to Jalen Noel, who was behind the linebackers, underneath the safeties, and just that was the read. Like, you could throw it to Jalen Noel there, and it's there. But he just – maybe the timing was off a little bit, whatever it was. CJ chose to run instead. And then there were other instances in the game where, I think there's a good chance that the rookie receivers just either weren't making the right decisions on choice routes or just the timing wasn't quite right. That stuff's going to get better. I think Higgins did some really good things in the game, but when you've got two rookies out there, you saw a lot more of Higgins and Noel. That was at least one reason for things being a little bit disjointed. So Christian Kirk or Braxton Berrios being back in there, I think could help a lot very quickly.
What did you see when you watched it from Nico Collins? Did he deserve more than five targets in this game based on how open he got?
Okay, it's complicated. He was open plenty of times.
Yeah.
It wasn't that the Rams were double teaming him or what have you. But it was just kind of one of those circumstances where there were times where Nico was wide open and yet the pass protection was breaking down. And there were other times where the pass protection was great and Nico was just running into his zone and it really wasn't the right decision. So could Stroud have made a different decision a couple times? Yes. But in the sum total of it, I'm looking at times where, there was usually a fly in the ointment. And so I'm not overly worried about it. And I do think that part of it too is if the process is that you're not focused on Nico Collins as much and you are trying to spread the ball around, I like that process. And it's just going to take a little time. There were a lot of positives to take from this game on the offensive side of the ball, but they're going up against a defense that has a really, really good pass rush. And you've got a reshuffled offensive line. And depending on what emotional state you're in, it can either look exactly like it did last year and you're sick of it, or, okay, first game with a new offensive coordinator and a bunch of new moving parts, we can really build off of this.
Yeah.
So it really just depends on how much coffee you've had this morning or whether you got in an argument with one of your kids last night.
Yes.
I like, it could go either way at this point.
Oh, so it's a blue dress, gold dress situation again,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there were some moments where, man, there was one play they blitzed the defensive back off the edge, and CJ made a good decision, threw it to Dalton Schultz. You know, it was like, you know, throw into the teeth of the blitz. But this was as Nico was just coming wide open over the middle.
Yep.
I'm not like, what am I going to do? I can't expect CJ to sit there and know for sure that, oh yeah, I'm going to get tagged in the ribs and let this fly downfield.
Yep.
While also trying to be careful with the ball.
Well, and we've been saying all off season, like, yeah, he needs to learn how to take a profit when it's there, that kind of thing too.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, there were just a few instances in that game where I think CJ chose the better. He chose
safer.
Conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't fault him for that when I think that's part of the maturation of a quarterback is learning how to walk that fine line.
Is it too cliche to say they're going to try to get Nico established early in this game on Monday? Like, try to get the ball in his hands any way that you can after him only touching the ball three times in this past game?
I think maybe a little bit, just in that, all right, if that's what you decide to do, but that's what the Bucs figure you're going to try to do,
yeah,
and they do, maybe they double Nico more,
yeah,
that, all right, you got to go elsewhere with it, and that's where the complimentary part of it comes in.
Yeah.
It was just all, it's really, the pass protection wasn't awesome. I mean, CJ, under pressure, though, he was brilliant.
9 of 10 yeah, for 108 yards.
And as it goes with CJ, a lot of times on the TV copy, you don't really appreciate how good some of the throws are.
Yeah.
But one of those completions to Nico, I mean, he's got pressure right up in his face, and he's throwing it off as he's falling away. And it was beautiful. I almost felt like, yeah, maybe they should just let guys in every time.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make, yes, a difference, that can, yes, get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, there's a faction of CJ ain't it guys out there that have started to crop up here in week one. And probably, if we're being honest, we're probably cropping up in the second half of last season too. And they're coming back out of the woodwork here. And I'm like, I don't know how you can watch. I don't know how you can. I know they didn't score a touchdown. I don't know how you can watch that game on Sunday and say that he's the main problem going on with the offense right now.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah,
like,
no, and in some of the problems too, where some of those opportunities were with Nico, was when there were miscommunications either from CJ or on the offensive line, or Damian Pierce perhaps making a mental error. I don't know if it was or not on his part, but there was some unawareness going on out there, yeah, that it feels like last year.
Yeah.
And that's where the test with Nick Caley begins, is if Nick Caley were an established offensive coordinator, but this was his first year on the team, I would, you know, I think you'd be like, oh, okay, well, look, yeah, they're working out the kinks. But it's Nick Caley who replaced the first-time offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And I get the justified either frustration or fear or trepidation that people have over watching the operation look a lot like it did last year. The real, yeah, test is, unlike Bobby Slowick, can he make improvements over the next few weeks,
bingo,
and get some of these things hammered out?
Yep, bingo. That's it. Here was Nick Caserio on Texans All Access a couple nights ago. If there's one thing the Texans need to do to win, what is it?
We just have to play Houston Texan football and just play disciplined football and focus on the little things. I mean, when you go back and look at some of the plays, I mean, if I was covering you man-to-man coverage and that was my assignment, my eyes are somewhere else,
right,
that leads to a big play. I mean, that's fixable. That's correctable. So the key is, as a player, don't try to do too much. Just do the things that you're coached to do. I think sometimes, especially on week one, you're so amped up, you're trying to do more than you really need to do. Just go out there and focus on your assignment each play, and then at the end of the game, hopefully look up the scoreboard, and, you know, we've had more good plays than they have.
Ironic that he says at the end of the game. I feel like he was describing the Jalen Petrie play at the end of the game right there. Like,
yeah,
keep your eyes in the right place. Don't get too amped up. Don't get too hyped. Don't let Puka Nacua get wide open for a 3rd-and-8 conversion to close out the game, you know.
This was the part for me that was frustrating, because we talked all offseason about how – All right. Jalen Petrie in the slot. He's not an ideal slot corner. The Rams, I feel like we're having the same discussions because they played Puka Nacua in the slot more than he ever has in his entire career, and it ended up being an issue. Where that's relevant for this week's matchup versus the Bucks is that Ibuka, the rookie for the Bucks, played a whole bunch in the slot, and he's offset by Mike Evans.
He was
so just
good.
Like you had a Puka Nacua Devontae Adams dynamic. You've now got a Mike Evans and Emeka Buka. My gosh, this is a lot of Ukas in one sentence. Emeka Buka,
it's the new Jalen. Yeah,
I thought I had gotten past it when I was talking about Puka Nacua and Puna Ford being on the same team. Yeah. But now I got to talk about Puka Nacua and Emeka Ibuka at the same time.
Yeah, they should trade names. It should be Emeka Nacua and it should be Puka Ibuka. That Puka
Why did you just
Ibuka,
do that to me? Now I'm screwed.
Just say Ibuka. Just say his last name. Like he's a one-word guy. Yeah.
So Ibuka plays in the slot a whole bunch. Okay, so one more positive that I saw from a few of the rewatches is I think that Nico and Matt Burke know that, Jalen Petrie's got some weaknesses when he's in the slot.
You would think.
I do think they're doing some things to disguise what his responsibilities are. I think there's a chance that there's times when, it's always dicey knowing for sure exactly what they're doing. One thing you can do is kind of make it look like a guy is following somebody in man on the pre-snap with motion. And then all of a sudden, no, you're actually dropping off into zone. And I think the Texans are doing some of that stuff. And the good thing is if you can just keep the quarterback off kilter enough that he doesn't feel like he can dial up exactly what he wants, there's that part of it. And then what Nick was talking about, I mean, some of it is just simple discipline and understanding the situation that, hey, it's third and eight. It's third and eight. You got Matt Stafford back there. Maybe just back off on the run a little bit and don't be so hyper to hit the run and just be sure that you're in position to cover Puka if he breaks on an out route.
Yep. All right, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. It's nothing. It's half a cup of coffee these days. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Headlines are up next. We will circle back to the Astros. Another huge performance from one of the most valuable Astros over the last month or two. We've got some Texans news. We've got a little NFL news. We got some really stupid NBA news as well that we'll get to in headlines coming up next.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.